Good evening. It's an honor to get to speak before you tonight. We have visitors in our audience, many of which are my family members, and honestly, not sure why they're here. I have a theory that it's to catch me, make a slip up, make fun of me later, but I can't prove that. But anyways, if you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you. Also know I am not the regular preacher, so typically he's much better than I am, so take that with a grain of salt. So tonight I want to talk a little bit about choices and our ability to choose. We are a people that loves choices. We live in a nation where, thankfully, we get to make a lot of choices. We have a system where we get to vote, to have our opinions heard on the leaders that we have. We get to choose where we want to live. We even get to choose where we want to go eat, like dinner tonight. We have the ability to make a lot of choices, and that's very nice. And we can sort of look through history, and we get to see different groups of people that have also had the ability to choose. And some people, they get together in countries, and they make choices that lead to the prosperity of their countries, and we can look through history and see that. But on the other hand, we also get to look, and we get to see people that make choices that go poorly. It was mentioned this morning about we read through the Bible, and we see examples of God's people making poor decisions, and I'd like to thank Mark for leading the song that he did just before the lesson. If you would, turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 15, the Bible reads, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." What I read was a very familiar passage to us. We use it as a memory verse in Bible classes. It's a truly very popular passage, and it's a good passage. For a lot of us, it gives us courage. It helps build our faith. And as Christians, sometimes, especially in this lesson, it kind of makes me wonder, what does that mean? Many of us here tonight have made the decision to become a Christian and to accept God's plan of salvation and strive to live faithfully, but I want to ask the question tonight, what does that really mean? What does it mean to be a Christian, and what are some of the choices that we make? Because we see here where the people of Israel responded to Joshua's question, and we will serve the Lord, yet just a page or so over in your Bibles, we already see where the children of Israel start to slip and where eventually they lead to a pattern of decisions that cost them their land. And as Christians, tonight I want to take the opportunity to sort of look at some of the choices that we have to make as Christians and how it relates. So the first thing that I want us to look at tonight is we need to choose our friends. Now this list of things isn't all-encompassing, but it's just something for us to think on tonight. Many of us know 1 Corinthians 15:33, which says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." A lot of us have heard this verse our entire life, but how do we implement it? There's a saying by some motivational speaker, I'm not sure exactly who it is, but it goes that we are the average of the five people that we spend the most time with. And personally, I find this to be true. I can look back on my own life and the people that I was hanging around at the time, I tended to talk like them, act like them, make similar jokes, and tonight, I want to ask you to do the same with your friends. Take a look at the four or five, the people that are closest to you, and what are they like? And I want us to ask ourselves a few questions about them. And the first question I want to ask is, are they Christians? And before I start into this point, I want to make the note that please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, because if we only talk to people that are Christians, then nobody will ever be converted. It's extremely important for us to be friendly to all people and to try to spread the gospel with as many people as we can. But what I'm talking about here is, who are the people that we spend the most time with? The people that on our good days we're talking to, the people that on our bad days we're talking to. Who are the people that on this earth we consider to be our best friends? As you can imagine, the Bible's got quite a few things to say about it. And we won't read all the passages that relate to friends, but I've got a few picked out. And you don't have to turn here, but the passage that I just previously read, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. If you would also turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. If you would, turn to John chapter 15, verse 12. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. If you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, beginning in verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. And then finally, turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Okay, so we've just gone through a few passages here, and it's quite obvious that the context for each of these are different. They're dealing with different situations, talking about different things, but I believe whenever you put them all together, it paints us a picture of what friends and friendship is. So, just kind of a question to extend is, how does that compare with your friends? Do you have those friends that help you strive to grow closer to God? And are they Christians? Because, brethren, these are the people that, as I mentioned earlier, we're spending our time with them. On our best days, we're talking to them. On our worst days, we're talking to them. And if they aren't Christians, what are they filling your mind with? I mean, I think back to Job, and we won't go there tonight, but you look at how his friends talked to him during one of the worst times in his life. And tonight, as Christians, ask yourself that same question, is if something terrible, and hopefully nothing terrible will happen, but if it does, how will your friends encourage you? And if your friends are of the world and they don't help build you up, I want to really encourage you to find some friends that will help you, to help you get closer to heaven. Being a Christian, it's a hard walk sometimes. And if you don't have good Christian friends to help you get there, it makes it even harder. Now, along with choosing your friends, as I mentioned, we need to choose Christians, but even when our friends are Christians, we need to be careful too. If you would, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The Bible reads, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Christ and God. So even as Christians, we have to be careful about what our conversations with our friends looks like. It's so easy to get around our friends, and sometimes things can get a little crazy, and really we say things we ought not. And what I want to encourage us tonight is, let's be careful that even whenever we are our brethren, even when we are around our brethren and the people that we love, let's still be careful that whatever we're talking about is pure and upright. And sort of going along with that is, turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I have to get there first. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. There we go. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Now, I want to be clear on this. The context here is in dealing with widows. However, I believe that it has application to us as well, in that we can see from here that gossip, that being a gossip and a busybody is it's something that we don't need to do, but I'll pick on myself here. Looking back at my conversations over the past few years, how many times am I talking with a friend, and that's where we end up? It's easy to start talking about people. I mean, we're in a building right now where there's tons of people more interesting than I am, and it's so easy to get to talking about other people. But brethren, we have to be really careful about that. And one thing I've picked up on is it's kind of easy to sometimes mask that under the guise of, well, oh, it's just because I care about this other person. We want to talk about them, and we want to, you know, find out the business because we want to care about them. And to a degree, don't get me wrong at all, caring about your brethren is a very good thing, and it's something that we ought to do. But a lot of times, we would be much better served just to go to that brother directly. As Scripture tells us, whenever we have a concern about them or their soul or some other need, we ought to do better just to go to them directly instead of just talking about them behind their back. So, a few things, as I've just mentioned about in dealing with our friends, is we need to be careful that what we're talking about is pure and upright, and we need to be careful not to gossip. But finally, one last point I want to make about our friends is that we need to hold each other accountable. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This is a passage that the world uses to tell us that we don't need to judge anybody. You know, it is not on me whatsoever to go up to one of you guys and say, hey, you're doing something wrong in your life. But whenever we look at this passage closer, that's not what it's saying. Here, what we're cautioned about is we need to examine ourselves before examining others. If I have this big sin on my life, then I don't need to walk up to one of you guys and start trying to tell you how to live your life before I fix my own. But with that being said, it doesn't tell us not to remove the speck in our brother's eye. And as Christians, sometimes we get very conscientious and scared about approaching one of our brothers that we think is in sin. It's very awkward. It's kind of scary. And we don't want to sour the relationship. And we have to be really careful with that. Because if we're truly friends with one another, we need to be able to go up to each other. We need to be able to, in a spirit of humbleness and not in a haughty way whatsoever, but we need to be able to humbly walk up and say, hey, we need to sit down, we need to study about this. It reminds me of a story that I actually had from my time in Memphis that one of my friends up there, he approached me one time about an error that he thought I was in. And to be completely honest with you guys, I still am not with what he was saying. I disagree with him. I didn't see his point. But at the flip side of it, the fact that I had a friend that was willing to put our friendship on the line and that was willing to and had the boldness to approach me and talk to me about an error that he genuinely thought I was in, that's what we need in our friendships. And having a friend like that, it's priceless. One more thing on this point is if you would turn to James chapter 5 and verse 16. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Here, The Bible tells us that in our friendships, we need to be vulnerable. We need to be able to confess our wrongs, confess our sins to one another, and this is something that's hard. It's not something that we like doing, but ultimately, it makes us stronger. And if our friends are the friends that we need to be, or are the friends that they ought to be, and are the Christians that they ought to be, this passage right here tells us that when they pray for us, it avails much. So as Christians tonight, what I want to encourage us to do is we need to be more open with one another. We need to be able to confide in our friends, hey, I'm struggling with this sin. And I realize it's awkward. I mean, most of this lesson right here is if I'm stepping on anyone's toes out there, it's because I stepped on mine first. I mean, it's something that's extremely awkward, but the Bible tells us to do it, and it's something that we really ought to strive to do. Just sort of closing out this point, I want to point out that no man or no friend will be perfect, and we all make mistakes. But with that being said, let's strive to choose friends who are striving to grow closer to God and will help us do the same. The next thing that we need to choose is we need to choose our entertainment. We live in a world where we have a huge amount of entertainment options. For the old people out there, there's TV. And for us that are a little bit younger, there's Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, Prime, probably a bunch of others that I'm missing that we can all access from the smartphone in our pocket. We live in a world where it's extremely on demand. You can watch what you want when you want to. So with that being said, what are you watching? And right here at the beginning, I'll point out, this isn't a point where I can take you to a passage that says, the TV show that you watch cannot contain this, or you can only watch shows about this, this, or this. There's not a passage in the Bible that says that. However, with that being said, I do believe that there are passages which help guide us. And if you would, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Finally, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, like we were here earlier, beginning in verse 1, the Bible reads, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Okay, so reading that passage, it's not necessarily immediately apparent how that relates to entertainment. But whenever I thought about it, we aren't physically in the movies and the TV shows that we watch. If that were the case, then most of us would be a lot richer and a lot better looking, but that's just not the case. However, whenever we're sitting down to watch TV, or we're sitting down to watch a movie, listen to that song, or whatever, what is it about? What are we meditating on? Is there fornication? Is there uncleanness? Is there crude humor? Is there sexual references? How much of that is filled in the shows that we watch? And as Christians, it's kind of easy to fall into the trap of, well, I'm a Christian. You know, I know this is wrong. I'm not going to do this. You know, just because I watch it on TV doesn't mean that it's going to affect me. You know, it's one thing to see it on TV, but I'm just not going to fall into that trap. And that's very dangerous. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Again, I'll pick on myself. This is something I can be guilty of. You know, I've been a Christian for a few years now, and many of you have been Christians in here for longer than I have, and it's kind of easy to be like, okay, unless I'm sick, I'm here every Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday. You know, I know a lot of what the Bible says. I'm pretty strong. You know, just because I watch this on TV, it's not going to affect me. But brethren, you really got to look at that attitude, because whenever you get that attitude, that's when Satan, he's knocking at your door. So, like I mentioned going into this, I can't take you to a specific passage that says, hey, you can watch this, you can't watch this, you know, it can only contain this many words, or it can't do this, or it can do that. However, I want us to take an honest look at what we're watching, and then ask ourselves, would we be comfortable watching this if Christ were physically in the room next to us? So just a few things to think about tonight. And then finally, I think we need to choose our priorities. Another familiar verse that most of us know is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. This verse says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Tonight, I want to ask ourselves, are we striving to serve two masters? And I have a few things within that I want us to think about. The first thing that I want us to think about is our assembling together. If you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 23. The Bible says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, we just came off of a gospel meeting, and at some point within the past few weeks, I heard someone raise the question, you know, that it gets asked, well, how much do I have to be here? You know, how many services do I have to be at? Can I go to Sunday morning? And then if I go to Sunday morning, do I have to go to Sunday night? And the main answer to that question is that if we're asking that question, we've missed it. You know, we need to look at assembling together as an opportunity. We need to look at it as an opportunity for our personal growth, and it helps build us up as Christians. So just sort of ask yourself tonight is, how do we view assembling, and do we prioritize other things in the place of it? And then the second thing I want to mention tonight in reference to serving two masters is our job. Working is a very good thing. It allows us to eat. It allows us to provide for ourselves. It allows us to give to others. And it's just overall, it's a good thing. But as Christians, are we conscientious about the jobs that we're working? Are our jobs honest? Revelation 21 verse 8 tells us, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, one thing that verse doesn't mention is it doesn't give us an exemption to lie if it's required for our job. And unfortunately, so often in the workforces, there's pressure to lie. There's pressure to just sort of mess with the numbers just a little bit, or even if they don't want you to come out and just straight tell a lie, they don't want you to tell the whole truth. And as Christians, we need to be prepared for, if we're put in that situation, how we're going to react. As Christians, it's so easy to fall into the trap of, well, I'm not super comfortable with it, but it's for my job, so I have to do it so we can eat. But brethren, we have to choose God over our jobs. When we're working, we must strive to keep our priority on God. If we have to get a different job, we have to get a different job. But if our job asks us to do something that God tells us we ought not, we have to be ready to turn in our notice right then and there. And then kind of a little bit of a side point to job is, what's our attitude towards money? We already read Matthew 6:24 that said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. But how much do we really let that sink in with us? It's easy to kind of say, well, I'm just serving God. I'm not serving money at all. But do our actions reflect it? Another passage I'd like for us to read is Mark 10:25. Mark 10:25 tells us, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. That passage flies in the face of what our modern culture tells us. We live in a world that tells us that we need to get more. You know, whenever we're looking for jobs, we've got to get the highest paying job we can find. We got to get as much as we can. We just have to get more, 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 and it pushes us. But how often do we forget this passage? And really, does it stick with us? do we think of, and, you know, this verse doesn't say it's impossible. However, it should remind us that it's extremely difficult. And it's easy to kind of sit back and ask yourself, well, why is having more money difficult? Having more money means I don't have to be as concerned about what I can eat or where we can live. It gives me more opportunity. But one thing that you kind of have to ask yourself is, what are we doing with our money for others? You know, do we forget that our money, it's a gift from God, and with that gift comes a tremendous responsibility? You know, take a look at how we spend our money. You know, sit down and take a month and look at your paycheck and what goes in and what comes out, and how much of that money is directed towards what I want, or what this raise can get me, or if I work this side job, what can I then do? Can I upgrade my car? Can I get a new house? Versus, how much do we really consider on how much we can do for others? Because we live in such a prosperous nation that as Christians, it can be extremely easy to get sidetracked and get wrapped up in our culture of what we can do for ourselves versus what we can do for others. So with that in mind, tonight I want to encourage us to let's be generous. You know, many of us here, we may not consider ourselves rich people. I mean, I know I don't drive the nicest cars. I don't live in the nicest house. However, whenever you compare it to the rest of the world, our standard of living is so high. You know, we may joke that we don't know where the next meal's coming from, but that's just because we don't know if we're going to eat at our house or go out to eat. We're blessed with so much. I mean, I think back to the announcement that Stephen made a few Wednesdays ago about our brethren in South Africa. They have so many more struggles than we have, and it's so easy for us to get bogged down in just how our life affects us. So tonight I want to encourage us to, let's focus on how we can spend our on how we can use our resources to help other people. And then by way of conclusion tonight, just a few final closing points is, we've looked at some difficult stuff tonight. Being a Christian is more than just that initial decision to become a Christian. After you do that, it gets pretty hard after that, because after you make that initial decision, you have to keep making hard decisions. And it's one of those things where it's incredibly worth it, but we can't let up. Being a Christian is it's consistently having to make hard decisions, but it's worth it. But we just have to keep our eye on God, and we can't get distracted by the cares of this life. And then also just want to say this, and I mentioned it earlier, but if I'm stepping on anyone's toes tonight, it's because I already stepped on mine when I was preparing it. Whenever I was putting this lesson together and going through the passages, it's kind of a wake-up call sometimes as Christians, because it's easy to get complacent. It's easy to get just sort of in a rut, and, you know, it's easy to sort of just fall into what the rest of the world does. But what I want to encourage you tonight is to be different, and to live as the Christian that God would have us to be. And then finally, if you aren't already a Christian, I want to urge you to choose to become a Christian. As I mentioned just a second ago, it's hard, and it's one of the hardest things in this world that you will do, but it is so incredibly worth it. The Bible tells us of the reward that waits for us if we're simply faithful to God. So I want to encourage you that if you aren't a Christian, go ahead and become one, because it's the best thing that you'll ever do. If we can assist you in any way tonight, please come forward as we stand and sing.